As we read the Gospels, for example, the one we have just read from Matthew, we get some idea of how truly mysterious is our faith. As often as we hear the Gospel, we never stop marveling at how strangely God deals with His people. The moral of the parable is obvious. Christ describes how workers came to labor in the vineyard at different hours of the day. Those who came first evidently worked the longest. Finally, so the parable goes, the owner of the vineyard found people standing around toward the end of day, told them, "You go and work in my vineyard too." So they did. Then the mystery begins. The owner starts with those whom he hired last and pays them what they had agreed. By the time he got to those who had been working all day, if anyone else except God were the owner of the vineyard, those who worked all day should have got more than those who came at the very end. This parable would not be accepted by any labor union in the world. By human standards, it is plain unjust. And that's the first lesson of the parable. We dare not judge God by our standards. You just never, no matter how strangely, unexplainably, God works in our lives or the lives of others, we dare not say that God is unjust. Surely He deals unequally with people. Some He gives much to, others He gives little to. And although He deals unequally, He deals with none unjustly. That is the first lesson of what is surely a profound mystery. The wide variety, the breathless inequality in God's dealings with His creatures, but never unjust. I've been writing a series of articles to commemorate the centennial of the Daughters of St. Mary of Providence. This October it'll be 100 years since their foundation. So they've got me writing articles for all kinds of Catholic papers. And as I'm writing these articles, I keep reading about the founder, Blessed Aloysius Guanella, who considered it part of God's special providence, mind you, that some people are brought into the world desperately in need of everything, weak, poor, ignorant, in fact, handicapped in every possible way. By human standards, God is unjust. That's a blasphemy. Our first responsibility, therefore, is to humbly recognize God's providence and ask ourselves if others have so much less than I, what can I do for them? The inequality in human nature is the foundation of charity. So we're to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, and I've been trying to do for some 25 years, instruct the ignorant, present company excluded. But notice, we begin by recognizing God's justice. That's the first lesson. The second is like to the first. Evidently, those who had borne the heat of the day not only thought they would get more, and they didn't, but when they saw they got only one denarius, they must have held the coin in their hands, looked up at the owner of the vineyard and said, "I don't get it." Christ's answer through the lips of the owner of the vineyard, we must all, beginning with the speaker, we must answer. The owner of the vineyard charged those who complained with envy. Remember? Are you envious because I am generous? If the first lesson is not to charge God with injustice because there is such wide inequality, but ask ourselves, what can I do to make up for what others lack? The second lesson is never to charge God with being unjust for giving others more than he has given us. Because clearly those who worked only at the tail end of the day, they're getting as much as those who had worked all day, evidently got more for less work, or as much as the others got for working all day. We've been going over the lives of the Jesuit saints. Thanks for the opportunity. I hope you're finding it useful. A youngster like Stanislaus, age 18, he goes to heaven. Hey, Peter Canisius, well, last night, Alfonso Rodriguez. Long. 80 years. Peter Canisius or Alphonsus could well complain, Lord, why do I have to stay around all this time, almost a century, and then I just get the same heaven that this child gets. Isn't the lesson pertinent to all of us? Some people are so gifted, and we, poor we, are so prosaic, so ordinary. Some seem to breeze through life, and we, trials, difficulties, suffering, poor health, opposition, you name it. This second lesson is especially pertinent to religious, because we live so close to one another. It's no secret. I figured after 2 weeks, the other members of the community knew all about me as I sure knew all about them. We see what others have and what we obviously don't have. We think we see how little God expects of others, and we're sure we know how much God demands of us. The secret is to stop comparing. Lord, thank me for giving me the privilege of working so hard, of suffering so much. You deserve far more than I can ever give you. It provides me with a providential opportunity of showing you my love. Let us ask our Savior. May I suggest more than once meditating on this parable. It is one of the most practically important in the spiritual life. Ask the Savior to never question His justice in dealing so differently with human beings, and to protect us from envy, because we see others having what seems to be more than we, and seeming to demand more of us than of those with whom we live. Jesus, God of justice, increase our faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.